The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I love listening to radio. It's one of my favorite ways to connect with the world. And over the last few weeks, there have been specials on the true meaning of Christmas. And I said, oh, fantastic. Christian evangelicals have taken over public radio. That's not what they were talking about. They may not have even mentioned Jesus at all. It might have been about a family adopting a child. I'm like, okay. It's a stretch, but I'm there. Might have been a really good sale at Macy's. I don't know. I struggle with that being the true or real meaning of Christmas. And because I listen to a lot of radio, I was barraged by these stories for the last 3 weeks, kind of starting after Thanksgiving. The search for the real meaning of Christmas. Nobody entered a church. Nobody opened the gospel. Nobody interviewed a believer. I was like, what's the world coming to? And then I got to think about it. What is the real meaning of Christmas? What could I say that would trump what they had said? And I really didn't come up with anything except this. That we have a God who desires so much to be with us, that he took on flesh, our human flesh, and pitched his tent with us. That's the translation from the New Jerusalem Bible. Or built his dwelling among us. Now, didn't John's gospel begin about, like, this is the one from which the whole universe was created? Now, there's an amazing event. Could you get the creator of the universe concentrated down into a little baby? All of God is in Jesus from the time of his conception onward. But also all of the human family is in Jesus from the time of his conception onward. Now there's a mystery to think about. Here is a God who is everywhere all at once, so present in the world, there's no part of the universe that is without God's presence. And yet God realized that that was not good enough. How many people have seen Happy Feet? It's a kid's video about penguins. A lot of penguin dancing, yes. A lot of penguin surfing. Okay, it comes from today's first reading. Beautiful. Happy are those feet who bring you good news. If they can say Macy's, a sale at Macy's is the true meaning of Christmas, I can claim happy feet as being a prophetic forerunner to the Messiah. Because that's the point. That everything in the human family is touched by the event of Christ becoming flesh. The Word was in the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And from the very beginning, God spoke one word, and all was created. And that one word that God spoke was, Help me out here, I know you're tired. Right? Did God make a mistake when he spoke that word and slip up? Oh, rats. I mean, who does God swear to when he messes something up? Or is God's one word in Jesus still being made to become perfection in the world? It depends on what kind of God we have. I would suggest we have a God who is so willing to be weak, vulnerable, broken, endangered by human activity, that we have a God who can relate to suffering. Right? We have family members here who are losing their jobs or members of their families. We can relate to suffering. We can relate to suffering as we go out to those other people who have lost a loved one this last year with compassion. It means to feel with. Our heart beats with theirs in their sorrow. The God of the universe before the incarnation did not have a heart, a human heart, to feel compassion with. But now, in Jesus, the God of the universe can feel all those emotions that we have as humans. We know Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. Like, well, Jesus, come on. You're going to raise him from the dead. Didn't you know that? What was the weeping for? Just a show? I don't think so. I think Jesus was deeply moved at the sadness of everyone around him and felt compassion with them. By this point in his ministry, he knows he's the Lord of glory. Right? He's also about to raise the dead, and yet he weeps. That's the God we have. Or the very first miracle he does at the request of his mother is to extend the party. I'm signing up for this faith. Right? How come nobody interviewed the wedding guests at Cana for the true meaning of Christmas? Here is a poor family, and more guests have arrived than there was wine for. I was telling this in this story about the wedding feast of Cana in Oregon, and I had the little kids sitting around me on the foots of the altar, and I said, why do you think they ran out of wine? Jesus brought all his friends, and they weren't on the guest list. And I said, fantastic. And so Jesus, even though he said to his mom, I'm not ready to do this. And mom says, do whatever my son tells you. He'll take care of the problem. Extends the party for another 3 or 4 days. He made 380 gallons of wine for people who'd already been drinking for 4 days. I mean, this is a God I want in my life. Do you want God to be that tangible? I had someone when I was working in the RCIA in Ketchikan come for several weeks and then decide to leave. And we always exit interview people who are leaving and ask them, you know, was it something the team did? Was it something the church said? What was it? And she said, you know, your church is just too fleshy. I'm like, fleshy? Yeah. You rub oil on people, you dip them in water, you consume the body and blood of Jesus. Too fleshy for me. And I had never thought about it that way. But we do. We have a very fleshy, tangible experience of our faith. And do you know what she was looking for? A transcendent God. A God that was bigger than life and far away. We don't have a God who's far away. We have a God who's very, very, very near. Probably nearer to us than our very breathing. Wow. That's the mystery of the incarnation. That's the mystery of Christmas. We have a God who's closer to us than our very breathing. We have a God who became human so that he could live out all of those crazy emotions that we have. So that his body could be tired and in need of rest. And instead still go forward when 5,000 people show up for dinner. Remember the retreat he was planning? And everybody came? It was supposed to be for 12 and all of Judea shows up? And he sent them all away. Get out of here. No, he said, I'm so glad you're here. Let me teach you, heal you, and feed you. Because I desire that you be made whole. I desire that you no longer live in darkness, but see the very glory of God lived large. For I am the light of the world. Isn't that great? In the second reading, we get to experience, to see today the refulgence of God's glory. I had to look it up. Anyone ready to be refulged or refulgenced? It's pretty glorious. Kind of like the light coming in through the stained glass windows for people who have lived in Juneau in the rain for so long. That's the refulgence of God's glory. And I love stained glass windows because standing there, letting the light of the sun shine through the Son of God in the window, then it's reflected on me if I stand in just the right spot. But it's reflected on each of us, right? The light of the world is to shine in us in such a bright way that everyone knows that our life is different because Christ has come. And he has come to set us free. So when we meditate on what the true, real, deepest meaning of Christmas is, it's probably not A or B or C. That was Macy's. Or D or E. It's probably all of the above. Because our world, all of creation has been changed because the Word of God became flesh. And he became flesh that we might have life and have that life in abundance. Also from John's Gospel 10:10. What a gift we have to celebrate this day. And if you're not feeling the refulgence of God's glory coursing through you, come and connect with the sacraments, these tangible fleshy ways where we lay hands and rub oil and dip water and feast on God's body and blood. For Christ came to make himself available to us in a real and tangible way. Let's take advantage of that.